All right, welcome back. It is 11:04 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. Coming up at 11:35, here's something interesting for you. Premier Dad is back, Dalton McGuinty. He is now a lobbyist for Kitchener's Desire to Learn, just in the tannery building here across the street from the studio. And a lot of people have issue with that. Gee, I wonder why. We'll be talking about that coming up at 11:35. Right now, this is something very interesting, mainly because, well, it's interesting for everybody, but particularly to me, because producer Neil Adams saw this and thought of me because I'm a big dog lover. I own a German Shepherd. My girlfriend's a veterinarian. We also have a cat. I've never once not had a dog growing up. I've always lived with a dog. So pets are very dear and near to my heart. And so when we saw the Clio collar and the type of technology that it manages, and if you're watching us on Rogers TV right now, Paul Wallace showing some of the things that it does, it manages to introduce a technology to a collar, which is very interesting. And Peter Mankowski is the founder of the Clio collar and joins me in studio this morning. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Eric, thank you very much for having me over.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here. So tell me a little bit about the Clio collar. First of all, Clio, what's the name all about?
Clio, it's the name of the cat of one of my employees.
Oh, okay.
That's so how we started.
Well, that's very nice. So as far as what Clio offers to a pet, what does Clio do, basically?
The short summary is that Clio collar scans for vital signs such as heart rate, mm-hmm. temperature, blood pressure, and others, just like humans do.
Right.
We look very carefully at your cat's and dog's movement. It's called walking sequence,
okay.
which translates into lots of interesting discoveries about medical conditions and diseases. In addition to it, we share this data with vets and other professionals, and we also install GPS, so your cat and dog will be found under 2 seconds worldwide.
Now, that happens already with microchipping in other ways. So because it already happens, do you think people will like the idea of, you know, a collar as opposed to a microchip or have both?
Well, I think that people will find this particular product very unique
mm-hmm.
because it's not a toy.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that it's almost a medical device today, and it's coupled with you as a pet owner, your vet, and your pet insurance company. You have 3 humans watching animal 24/7 and looking after it. The GPS alone solves only one problem, which is location. We think of us as a miniature veterinary hospital attached to your dog.
Right. And it's interesting because the other day I had to go get my dog licensed. And while we were there at the, I believe it was the Humane Society, there was 3 or 4 people in the Humane Society that were reporting lost cats that were, and I don't know what it is about cats. I mean, cats get out and they're gone, right? I mean, if they're not coming back, they're not coming on. Good luck finding them. But it seems to happen often that people end up losing pets. So this is one way where you'd be able to find them like that.
Cats are very different. They have their own
kind of way of looking at life,
not like dogs and not yeah. like humans. They wander away. And when you look at Clio collar and what it scans at night, I have 2 cats. They wander away in very peculiar pattern. They have their favorite spots. They wander into neighbors' yards. Nobody knows why. The pattern tends to repeat itself. There is an aspect of finding your cat, but there is also the fascination with being with your cat at night and watching it. Where does it go and why? I encourage you to look into it. You will find lots about personality of your animals when you start tracking them.
Now, you brought in a sample of the Clio collar.
Yes.
And you can just hold it up so the TV cameras will get it. So basically, it is just a little clip that will clip onto any type of collar. It's not necessarily the entire collar itself. It's just a tiny clip. How does it work? I mean, how much work went into what is in that little box?
Funny you ask, and it will sound very unusual what I am about to say, but I started this in 1992.
Wow.
I was working out of Civic Hospital in Ottawa. I was fresh out of school, and medical faculty asked me to assist them to build artificial heart, which I did. So I used to save humans 20 years ago. But what piqued my interest was the fact that some tests that were being conducted, we actually used cats, dogs, and cows. And I got quite captivated by it. So 20 years ago, we started Ideas. Then I got a corporate job at BlackBerry and many other companies in North America. But the seed was planted in my brain, and I kept working on it over the last two decades. Only recently, something quite unusual happened in my life, and I decided to leave the corporate world and start saving pets.
And I mean, that's a fantastic story. So you're a former BlackBerry worker as well.
That's correct.
So what made you stay in this area when you're coming up with a product like this? Why in this area?
I received several offers to relocate to California.
Yeah.
When we started this, we looked around, and surprisingly enough, the talent that is in town, mm-hmm. and the level of support, not only from science community, but from universities, local politicians, and my former employer, BlackBerry, it's unparalleled. It will be foolish to leave this area. We decided to stay in Kitchener. We are looking at larger office space. Let me assure you, when you travel to US and to Europe, you come back and you look at us very differently. There's nothing like it.
That's very interesting. Now, as far as the Clio collar is concerned, so this will clip onto any kind of collar. You talked about harnesses as well. People like to use it with harnesses.
Some people have smaller dogs that don't like collars because they pull quite a bit. They cannot be trained. Harnesses are coming back, especially the fancy ones that are really a piece of art, one of a kind. If somebody spends significant amount of money on the harness, they don't want to replace it by something plain. We provide them with the alternative. Our product, it's a clip-on to any shape and any width of a belt.
Very interesting. And so you talked about some of the health benefits of tracking, all of these different things when it comes to the health of your dog. But I guess this goes hand in hand, but I guess it's also great for fitness, right? Because I know, as I mentioned, my girlfriend's a veterinarian, and she sees overweight, obese animals on a daily basis. And, you know, if anybody pays attention in that realm, they know that obesity is not only a problem when it comes to human beings, it's a big problem, a big issue now when it comes to pets as well.
That is absolutely correct. Our product does something quite unusual. We calculate activity level for your pet, cat and a dog. And if we see your animal gaining weight, we send you a text and we send you an email saying, stop overfeeding your dog, reduce the portion. And
is it that abrupt?
Yes, it's very annoying. People get very upset, but they do listen. And that's the best red flag. We train humans to reduce the size of the portion.
Yeah.
Humans don't like that because it's a reminder about them not really taking care of animals, but it's very effective. I've seen larger dogs losing between 2 and 3 pounds a month until we kept the weight under control. It's a great tool.
That's amazing. Are veterinarians receptive of this?
Yes.
Have you spoken to vets about this?
We have an army of them knocking on the door right now. We have working arrangements with University of Guelph. We have professors, and we actually have vets that have their own clinics here, mm-hmm. In Kitchener and areas around it. Asking for early samples. They are several smaller pilots. And what those professionals do with Clio Collar, it's absolutely out of this world. They come, they are coming up with applications and means of use that I have never dreamed of. It's really quite amazing. I'm going to give you one example. We have one clinic close by that has a dog feeder. It's basically a little box that you fill with food,
mm-hmm.
and it does the portion control
right.
for you automatically. There is a Bluetooth built in, and Clio Color actually tells this piece of electronics when is the next meal, what time, and how much. Humans are decoupled from this process. You do absolutely nothing. It's a virtual conversation between two pieces of electronics looking after your pet.
So it would be like a dog's bowl. It would just shoot out food into its bowl, and you don't have to worry about it.
You do absolutely nothing. If you are sitting here interviewing people and you feel you feel lonely, depressed, or somebody is getting under your skin, you use your phone and you simply send a text message to Clio Caller, and Clio Caller will give your dog or a pet a treat. You feel much better about it.
My dog is probably hungry right now at
home.
Okay,
let's do it.
So we should probably do something. I have so many more questions for you, but folks, phone lines are open as well. You're okay to take some phone calls, some questions if folks have any questions. So if you have any questions for Peter, founder of the Clio Caller, it's an amazing piece of technology if you ask me, and it could really be beneficial to any pet owner, I think, and so veterinarians are jumping on board. I have more questions for you as you know, where you are with it right now. Is it on the market? But I'll ask you all that on the other side of this. So the phone numbers are coming your way. We'll take some of your calls, email straight ahead on Rogers TV and 570 News. All right, welcome back. It is 11:19 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV, in studio with Peter Mankowski, the founder of Clio Caller, an amazing piece of technology, basically. It's a piece of technology that clips onto a collar for your pet and tracks all vital statistics from anywhere around the world. So, Peter, I wanted to ask you about the tracking specifically, because where is the tracking done? I mean, is this something where, for example, if I own the Clio Caller, it's on my dog, will I be able to access this from my phone? Will I be able to access it from my desktop? I mean, how does that work?
This is newer concept that allows you to track your dog from your phone, from your laptop, from your desktop, from any mobile device. In addition to it, you can share it with all of your friends on Facebook and family members. The means of looking at the dog from your piece of electronics, it's irrelevant. We have applications for all of them.
Well, that's good. And I think, you know, a lot of people would want to know about that, because so many of us can't live without phones nowadays. And if I'm running around or whatever and I have a dog at home, and if I could pull out my phone, hit an app, and it opens up and lets me know everything about my dog, vital signs, what it's doing. I mean, I just think that that is such a huge advantage to the everyday person.
That's correct. And it has one more unique feature that people just don't discuss because they don't think it's possible. GPS works outside only. When you go indoor, the GPS stops working. We develop our own system that allows you to track your pet inside as well, which is very important for shopping malls and any enclosures with the roof. We have that as well.
During the break, you were telling me about one of the health impacts of your device. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I'm going to give you an example. When my son was younger, growing up, he had few weeks of him losing his confidence at school. We just moved here to Kitchener, and I've noticed that he was walking very differently. His emotions, his mental state were giving the secret away about how he felt. Small steps, shoulders moving toward. He was just not quite himself. I thought about it for years, and I determined that dogs do the same. Your happy dog moves differently. His steps are differently. His weight distribution is different. We look at it for years, since 90s, and we unravel the secret, which leads to probing the walking sequence of your pet and trying to determine medical conditions. Today, in addition to weight control, we look at arthritis and any medical conditions that relate to bone and joint. It's very interesting technology because it's non-intrusive and deadly accurate.
Phone lines are open, folks. If you have any comments or questions, 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. You can get me on the email, eric@570news.com. Would you use the Clio Caller for your pets? I mean, I think it's Fantastic piece of technology. So we talked about what it can do. We talked about that veterinarians are on board. We talked about the software that's available with this as well. Obviously, you have the software for it, where a website you could go and track your dog and or cat and all of that. Talk a little bit about some of the people that have supported you from day one, because this isn't something that I'm sure you could just, you know, do on your own. You need support whenever you do something like this.
Yes, I have been fortunate enough that one day, unexpected, the local Humane Society showed up on my door. The director of Humane Society here in KW area, Jack Kinch, he challenged me and he said that anybody can design a smartphone. I was at BlackBerry then, and we spoke about it at length. And he basically demanded that I look into health issues for animals. So Humane Society is on board. They are doing a tremendous job giving me encouragement and coaching me. I also have Communitech and Accelerator Center, who are providing daily mentorship. And I need to really thank all people that are my mentors, because what they do is quite amazing. I have never done this before. I came from science department. When I make a mistake or something isn't right, I have people knocking on my door, and they are absolutely ruthless. They basically tell me, stop doing it. This will not work. And if people are sincere and they'd like you to succeed, you cannot fail. You feel empowered because you have hundreds of people eyeballing you every day. So for all of those people at Communitech and AC, thank you so much.
Where are you right now with this product? I know you're on Kickstarter. What's the goal?
We are on Kickstarter because we try to do this in a very unusual way. We never received a round of funding. This is a self-funded startup with 17 employees. We need funds to complete our research, finish algorithms, and start producing large number of Clio collars. Our goal on Kickstarter is to receive at least $100,000, which will allow completion of our algorithms. If we collect more, it will be amazing, but we need your support. I only have 27 days to harvest $100,000 on Kickstarter, so I'm seeking your support. We will be shipping this product in January and February of next year. Right now, few people have our early prototypes, and they are very happy with them. But the real production and distribution worldwide will start in about 6 months.
So you can just Google Kickstarter Clio Collar. The website as well is cliocollar.com if you'd like to learn a lot more information about this product. I've just received a couple of emails from listeners asking about price point.
Price point, I think, will surprise you in a good way. On Kickstarter, it's about $69. We would like to make this affordable for everybody. We are not running it to make massive profits. We would like to look after animals' health, and we will always price this to be very affordable. So think about $69. Plus $5 of monthly subscription, the price will never increase. And thanks to Jack twisting my arm, a large percentage of every sale goes straight back to Humane Society. We are not only a sponsor, but a contributor to many improvements to the local branch.
So think about it, folks. You can track your dog, all the vital signs and everything associated with it, as well as the location through GPS of your dog at any time, which I think is a big deal, because I told you the story earlier about, you know, being at the KW Humane Society, people lined up to report missing cats and whatnot. So that's a big portion of it. Vets are on board. Once again, I'll say CleoCollar.com, and you can find them on Kickstarter as well. Peter, amazing product. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me over.
Thanks. All right. We'll be back with much more on Rogers TV and 570 News. It is 11:34 here on 570 News Midday. Welcome back to the program. Coming up at 12:05. Hold on to your hats, folks. Toronto Maple Leafs have been ranked the worst North American sports team. I know. You just had to pull over. You had to take a seat if you were standing. the Maple Leafs ranked the worst North American sports team by ESPN. And that's coming up at 12:05. We'll be chatting about that. As a Maple Leafs fan, based on what they use to calculate this, I don't know if I can argue that, Matt. It just happened, you know? And I think it's something that a lot of people are going, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah, got it. But yeah, the Maple Leafs ranked North America's worst sports team. What worst means is the key here, and we'll talk about that coming up at 12:05. Premier Dad is back in the game. You may have heard the news. Of course, a year and a half after stepping down, Dalton McGuinty has signed up to lobby the government that he used to lead on behalf of a company that received a multi-million-dollar provincial grant when he was premier. It was dated August 26th, an entry in the provincial lobbyist registry for Mr. McGuinty, and it gives his business address as a house in a residential Ottawa neighborhood. He is lobbying on behalf of Kitchener's Desire to Learn. It's the company right across the street in the tannery here, downtown Kitchener. The company that makes Brightspace, which is an educational software system that allows students to work together over the internet. Now, his registration indicates he will be lobbying unspecified MPPs, as well as the ministers of the education of training, colleges, and universities. His aim, it says, is to get Desire to Learn's technology into more schools and post-secondary institutions. As I mentioned, the government gave Desire to Learn $4.25 million grant in January of 2011 to help the company expand its operations. Lobbying records show the company also received $3 million from the Education Ministry and $14,000 from the Transportation Department in the last fiscal year. Now, it's interesting because Ontario rules prohibit politicians from lobbying the government for a year after leaving office. So McGuinty has just been outside of that for several months now. So this is why this is coming up now, because he's been away for, how long has it been? A year and a half. So he's about 6 months removed from that rule. And of course, it's worth mentioning, during his time in office, Mr. McGuinty did drive a hefty education agenda, if you remember, including creating full-day kindergarten program, boosting the province's test scores and literacy levels. He also created a research and innovation cabinet portfolio, which he took on himself. Now, of course, he left office under a cloud in February of last year, where he was slammed at the legislature for canceling two gas-fired power plants in Mississauga and Oakville at an estimated cost of $1 billion. Austerity measures had also damaged his relationship with the teachers' union, which he had withdrawn extracurricular activities and campaigned against his party in the by-election. So McGuinty, of course, left with a black eye, and everybody knows that. And now he's signed up as a lobbyist for a local company in Desire to Learn. And, you know, a lot of people are saying there's so much wrong with this. First of all, do you feel that if you were a member of parliament, if you're the premier, that you should be able to lobby the government that you used to lead in this particular case, but just in general? And how do you feel at the news that Dalton McGuinty is lobbying his former colleagues and is associated with a local company in Desire to Learn? Desire to Learn is a great company, and they've been expanding rapidly. Right? I mean, we all heard the news that they're expanding, they're hiring, developing their program and their the service that they offer rapidly. It's been working for Desire to Learn. So if you're Desire to Learn, is this a smart move? And I should mention that we did reach out to Desire to Learn, and there was nobody available to come on and comment today. But if you're Desire to Learn, is this a smart move on your part, knowing the type of baggage that Dalton McGuinty carries around with him? It's a very interesting thing in my eyes, because whenever you mention the name Dalton McGuinty, a lot of people's eyes roll, a lot of heads shake. And so Is this a smart move if your desire to learn is one question? And how do you feel about Dalton McGuinty lobbying his former colleagues now? Phone lines are open, 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. You can get me on the email. Eric at 570news.com. You can get me on Twitter as well, at Eric Drost. We know that his former chief of staff, going back to talking about Dalton McGuinty leaving with a black eye, we know that his former chief of staff was also revealed to be the subject of police investigation. This is another thing that happened when Dalton McGuinty left. And accused of bringing in an outside information technology expert to wipe computer hard drives. That made the news as well. Mr. McGuinty has repeatedly denied knowing anything about the alleged destruction of the records in his office. And, of course, his chief of staff had also maintained his innocence. But you mentioned, you bring up the name Dalton McGuinty, and as I mentioned, a lot of people's heads start shaking. And, you know, I'm just looking at this. Of course, Dalton McGuinty offers a lot to a company like Desire to Learn. I don't want to be mistaken with that. But to me, it's like, are you bringing on, you know, some public backlash with the name Dalton McGuinty? Is that purposely done? I mean, you know, is it to get you in the news? Dalton McGuinty, when he left office, everybody was calling him a criminal and accusing him of stealing basically $1 billion. Along with some other people. And then wiping hard drives. So how do you feel about Dalton McGuinty lobbying his former colleagues? Is this a good thing for Desire to Learn? The numbers are coming your way. We'll take some of your calls and emails straight ahead on Rogers TV and 570 News. Welcome back. It is 11:46 here on 570 News Midday. The emails are coming in about the Leafs being the worst franchise in North America, according to ESPN. That's coming up at 12:05. But by all means, if you'd like to get your email in right now, Eric at 570news.com. We'll be talking about it at 12:05. Maple Leafs ranked the worst North American sports team by ESPN. Right now we're talking about Dalton McGuinty because he's back. This time on the other end of the bargaining table, former Premier Dalton McGuinty has registered as a lobbyist for an educational software company, Kitchener's Desire to Learn, just across the street here in the Tannery Building. According to the Provincial Lobbyist Registry, McGuinty signed up on August 26th for his new role with the company, which was awarded a $3 million from the Ontario government contracts last year and a $4.25 million grant in 2011. It's a great company. They've been expanding rapidly. But a lot of people are shaking their heads and saying, are you kidding me? So let me get this straight. A former premier that left under scandal can now turn around and lobby the party that he led. And, I mean, let me remind you that Ontario had the opportunity to rid itself of the Liberal government if that's the way you felt, and instead, we now have a majority. So to all the people that are, you know, talking about this being a terrible thing and that it shouldn't, you know, allowed to happen, because the Liberals, of course, are defending this, right? So, I mean, they've jumped to McGuinty's defense. Treasury Board President Deb Matthews pointed out that McGuinty waited the 18 months after leaving office. So he played by the rules. Liz Sandals, Education Minister, also echoed the support for McGuinty, saying that the former premier has every right to lobby the government on behalf of a private company. Do you feel this is the right move for Desire to Learn? And how do you feel about the former premier who left under scandal now lobbying the party that he led? 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. The email is eric@570news.com. This is Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. Eric, I believe there's nothing in the rules against it, so how could we stop it? Lawfully, it's legal. I believe the same thing has happened at the federal level with Mr. Mulroney. I believe he was back as a lobbyist at one point. And what bothers me is, why should we have to have a lobbyist for Desire to Learn? We should be picking Ontario and Canadian equipment and software first before we look to the United States and that. We shouldn't have to be lobbying at all. If it meets the same standards, why would we need a lobbyist? I would hope that the school board, for instance, would look at our own people first before they started looking externally. And as far as Mr. McGinty goes, all the more power to him. If he wants to do it, if it's not against the rules, if it's legal, why shouldn't he be able to do it?
All right, Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. On the email, this one here from, Dave in Cambridge says, "Hi, Eric. Perhaps in his new job, Dalton can accomplish something good to help balance the catastrophe when he was a leader of the government. I consider him to be the most important politician in my lifetime, 50-plus years, which is quite an accomplishment. Cheers, Dave in Cambridge." Andre says on the email, "Desire to Learn did a big mistake. Do they want to learn from a criminal who stole billions of dollars and got away with it? He should be in prison, not lobbying the same criminal government." Andre, you send me the charges. You send me something that says that Dalton McGuinty is a criminal, and I'll throw you a bone. All we have right now is accusations and allegations, and I'm open to talk about them 100%, but you can't call someone a criminal who hasn't been charged and who isn't doing any time for anything. Let's go back to the phones. This is John in Waterloo. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
I think Dalton will make a very successful lobbyist, because if anyone knows what palms to grease to get the contract, it's got to be him. You forgot about the orange scandal and all the other scandals.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I could go on, but I only have so much time here, John.
Yeah, exactly. As for getting rid of the crooked, did I say that out loud, liberals in the last election, the alternative was some madman from the 1930s, so we really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, but as far as him being associated with Desire to Learn, John, do you think this is a good step for Desire to Learn?
It's kind of like being associated with Al Capone in my book. I mean, it'll get them results, but and it's legal, but it's morally repulsive.
Well, and that's kind of the conversation I was hoping to have, right? Because you're absolutely right, John. It will get them the results, and I think that's, obviously why they did it, because the bottom line matters. I do thank you for your phone call, John, in Waterloo. On the email, this one, doesn't have a name, but it says, "The fine citizens of Ontario had an opportunity to rid themselves of McGuinty and all of his cohorts. They chose not to. Dalton will continue to milk the coffers from outside of the government now, while, of course, still collecting his government pension. This one's on us." Well, and, I seem to share that sentiment because you're absolutely right. You know, if people are going to complain and whine about Dalton McGuinty, and let me tell you, there's a lot of people that whine and complain about Dalton McGuinty, both when he was the leader of the Liberal Party and the premier, and now when he's a lobbyist for a local company and lobbying his colleagues of the party that he used to lead. There's a lot of critics out there, but you got to remember that we had an opportunity. This province had an opportunity. There was a vote. The turnout was what? Under 50%. You talk about the referendum in Scotland, and I know that has to do with nationalistic pride and unity and all this. So of course you're going to get a bigger turnout, but come on, the voter turnout in this province is something like 46%, 49%. I mean, it's pathetic, right? We have a municipal election coming up, and what's the voter turnout in municipal elections? It's like 30%. It's even lower. And then when headlines happen afterwards, people start scratching their heads and wondering why something happened. Well, I mean, the opportunity was there to get involved. But yes, absolutely, he left under a scandal. Yes, absolutely, there was questions about the cancellation of two gas-fired power plants. Yes, it was $1 billion. Yes, there was orange. Yes, there was other scandals. Yes, he denied everything, of course. So did his former chief of staff, who he was under the subject of a police investigation because he was his former chief of staff was being accused of bringing in an outside information technology expert to wipe computer hard drives. Sure, there was scandal. And now Dalton is back on the other side of the bargaining table as a lobbyist and will be lobbying his former colleagues for a local company. How do you feel about that? Phone lines are open, 519-570-2545, locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. You can get me on email, eric@570news.com, and on Twitter, @EricDrost. And this is another email here with no name. But again, it's about the same, should have voted them out. The fine citizens of Ontario did try to rid themselves of McGuinty. The dumber than a bag of nails citizens of Ontario outvoted them. Well, there you go. It is 11:55 here on 570 News Midday, coming up at 12:05. We will be talking about the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs have been ranked as the worst franchise in North America by ESPN. What does that mean? There was 122 teams in this ranking out of the MLB, NBA, NFL, and NHL. And just looking at some of the categories that were used to rank these teams, things like affordability, coaching, fan relations, ownership, players, stadium experience, bang for the buck. You bet the Leafs are last in that one, 122nd bang for your buck. And title track, surprisingly, the Leafs were not last in title track, but those are some of the categories that ESPN used as benchmarks to rate some of the teams, all of the teams, I should say, in North America in the MLB, NBA, NFL, and NHL. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, the news came out, the Toronto Maple Leafs are the worst team in North America. Out of 122 teams, they are the worst team.
The worst in all of North America, of all the sports.
Yes, that's what I just said.
Basketball, hockey, baseball.
Yeah, that's coming up at 12:05. And also, I should mention that Rudy Blair will be joining us, our music and entertainment reporter, 680 News and 570 News. He has his show, On the Mic with Rudy Blair. It has a season 2 coming up. Before we get going on this Dalton thing, I got another email here from Ronald that says, Dalton, saying Dalton McGuinty is a criminal when he is a private citizen may bring up a slander suit. Thankfully, he will never get back into politics, but his shadow policies are still hurting us today. And that one from Ronald. All right, as I mentioned, the Toronto Maple Leafs ranked as the worst team in North America. It's coming up at 12:05. We'll chat about it here on Rogers TV and 570 News.